Well, before we get into the outline, I'd like to just right at the beginning give you my burden for last night's message and this message. And I'm going to give you two little phrases. And these phrases come from the New Testament. The first phrase is found in John chapter 19, verse 5. And this is related to last night's message. In John 19, the Lord, after being arrested, was taken before Pontius Pilate to be judged by him. We saw last night at the end of the examination, three times Pilate declared, "I find no fault in this man." But at the beginning of the examination, Pilate brought Jesus out before the crowd. And we won't get into the detail yet. But when Pilate brought Jesus out before the crowd, he said to the crowd, "Behold the man. Behold the man." So this is the first phrase. What are we doing this week? Behold the man. The man. The unique man. Who has the proper humanity. Amen. The humanity that is satisfying and fragrant to God. What do we need to do? Behold the man. Amen. Brothers, what do we need to do?
Behold the man.
Sisters, what do we need to do?
Behold the man.
That's right. Behold the man. Amen. Who's that man? Jesus. Amen. Then tonight's message can be summed up with a little phrase that we find in John 6:57. Jesus said, "He who eats me." So we need to behold the man. Then we need to eat the man. Amen. What are we doing as Christians? Behold the man. Amen. Eat the man. Day by day, behold the man. Amen. Eat the man. Amen. What are you going to do tomorrow? Eat the man. What are you going to do next week? Eat the man. What are you going to be doing a year from now? Eat the man. What if you have a failure in your Christian life? Eat the man. What if the day's not going so good? Eat the man. That's right, brothers and sisters. Behold the man. Amen. And eat the man. Amen. This is the Lord's word. He who eats me. Amen. Who's me? That's Jesus. That's the one who Pilate declared, "Behold the man." So tonight, I hope we all could have our eyes open to see the significance and the importance of eating the man, of eating Jesus. And that we could all declare, hallelujah, eating Jesus is the way. So now let's come to the outline, and we'll just go through this outline, just at a very normal pace. And this outline was going to help us. It's going to help us to know how to eat that man. Amen. Let's all read Roman numeral 1 together. As the meal offering, Christ is God's food, and he is also our food. Since Christ is our food,
we need to eat him.
So last night we saw that Christ is the meal offering. And the significance of the meal offering is related to Christ being the one who has the proper humanity. And this meal offering in Leviticus chapter 2, at first, a portion of it was offered to God. It was put on the altar. It was consumed by the fire. That fire on the altar, you could say that was God's mouth. For God to eat, to consume that meal offering for his satisfaction. So first, Jesus, with his proper humanity, he is for the satisfaction of God.
Amen.
But there was a remainder, something remaining of the meal offering. And that remainder was given to the priests for them to eat.
Amen.
For them to eat. Amen. This is a great picture, brothers and sisters, of our Christian life and of our life of service to God. The first thing we need to learn to do is eat.
Amen.
So let's turn to those verses in Leviticus chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3. How about we read these together? Whoever has it, we'll just read it. Then he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take from it his handful of its fine flour and of its oil with all its frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire, a satisfying fragrance to Jehovah. And what is left of the meal offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy by fire. So there in verse 2, we see first, God gets to eat. God gets to enjoy the meal offering to satisfy him. But then in verse 3, Aaron and his sons, the priests, those in the priestly service, they also got to partake. They got to eat the meal offering. So, A, on the outline. First, God must be given his portion of the meal offering that he may be satisfied. The remainder is our portion. For our satisfaction.
Amen.
The meal offering is a type of Christ. That means Christ is our portion.
Amen.
Christ is our portion for our satisfaction.
Amen.
Christ is our food.
Amen.
For our supply. For our energy. For our strength. How are you going to function as a priest? How are you going to live? How are you going to serve? It all together is by your eating.
Amen.
If you don't eat, you can't live. And if you don't live, you can't serve. So all together, the matter of our priestly service is connected to, it's related to our eating. Now let's all read B together. The priests feed on Christ as the meal offering, day by day. We are the priests, so we must eat
Christ as the meal offering for our priestly diet.
We have to be very clear that in the New Testament, who are the priests? We are. You have to say, I am. You should turn to your neighbor and say, hey neighbor, just want to let you know, I'm a priest. And your neighbor should say, me too. We're all priests in the New Testament. And the priests, they need the proper diet. They need the proper diet. What is our diet? Christ. Who do we eat? Christ. We need to feed on Christ. Oh, I like that. Feed on Christ. How often do we need to feed on Christ?
Every day.
Every day. Day by day. Oh, I want this word to sink into our being. We need to feed on Christ.
Amen.
How frequent are our feedings? Every day.
Amen.
Not once a year. Not once a month. Not even once a week. Will do. But we need to feed on Christ day by day.
Amen.
Even not only once a day, but many times throughout the day, we need to feed on Christ.
Amen.
We have such a helpful picture with our human life. In order to live the human life, don't you have to feed? Come on, answer the question. What's your name, brother? Josh. Do you have to feed? Yeah? Can you live without feeding? No way, right? Do you want to live without feeding? No. Not me, brother. I like to feed. I like to eat. How often do you like to eat? A lot, right? Every day, right? Just once a day? One time during the day? No way. Many times. That's the way we have to live the Christian life. We have to live the Christian life by feeding on Christ every day, many times. Not just in the morning. Oh, it's good. It's very good to begin the day feeding on Christ. You know, we call that morning revival, right? You could say that's your spiritual breakfast. It needs to become our habit that we don't begin the day without having our breakfast, our real breakfast, our real feeding. Feed on Christ. Don't leave home without feeding on Christ. Don't go into the things of your day without firstly feeding on Christ. But don't let that be the only time you feed on Christ. So the priests, in this type in the Old Testament, they were to feed on Christ day by day. When you come to the Bible, you have to be very careful not to come to the Bible in a religious way, with religious thoughts and religious concepts. When we talk about eating Jesus, this is contrary to the religious thought. The religious thought is very much in the realm of do something for God. But if you read the Bible carefully, you will see from the very beginning, God did not want man first to do something for him, but God wanted man firstly to eat of him. This matter of eating God, eating Christ, is portrayed throughout the Bible from the very beginning. The first book, Genesis, chapter 2, on the very first day of man's existence. The first thing that God told man to do was not worship him. Not serve him. But the first command God gave to man was eat. Amen. Eat. Man, I want you to do one thing right now. Eat. Amen. Maybe if you were Adam, you just came into existence. You're like, what am I doing here? How did I get here? There's God. Okay, you made me. Tell me what to do for you. And the first thing God said is, man, I want you to eat. Amen. This is the primary thought of God concerning man. Eat. Eat me. Eat me. Take me in. Because everything that we are and everything that we do will come out of what we eat. The source must be God Himself. There it is in Genesis. Chapter 2, eat. There it is in Exodus. How did they get saved? They ate the Passover. Here it is in Leviticus with the offerings, eating. You'll see it in the good land. They went into the good land. They were to eat the riches of the good land. The riches of the good land are all a type of Christ. Then you come to the New Testament. What did the Lord tell people to do? Eat me. Drink me. How does the Bible end? In the new heaven, new earth, with the new Jerusalem. What's there? There's a river of water of life. Amen. And on this side and that side of the river of water of life is the tree of life.
Amen.
What's the tree of life there for? To eat.
Amen.
Do we get the picture? What does God want you to do? Eat.
Amen.
Who does He want you to eat? Jesus. We have to see this. We have to be saved from religion, trying to do something for God, apart from God. All that we do for God, all our service to God, has to come out from God, has to come out from our eating of God Himself. So under B, point one, says the word eat in John 6:57. I believe we don't need to look this verse up, right? What does that verse say? As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me so shall live because of me. So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. Do we see it? But that word there in John 6, eat, eat. Jesus said, eat me. The word in eat in John 6:57 is a special word in Greek, which can be translated masticate. To masticate is to chew finely, to eat. Bit by bit, in a slow and fine way. You know, when you eat in this way, eating in a slow, fine way, chewing, breaking the food down in your mouth, bit by bit, this makes what you eat easier to digest, easier to assimilate into your being. That's why our mothers have been telling us, slow down. Chew your food. Well, God has been saying the same thing. Masticate me.
Amen.
When you eat me, slow down. Take your time. Eat slowly. Eat bit by bit, little by little. Chew it so that when it comes into you, it can be easily digested, easily assimilated into you. You know, many of us have learned that to eat the Lord, the easiest way is to pray read the Word. And we will touch this a little bit later in the outline. But I have a little concern that many of us in our pray reading may pray read too quickly, may pray read in a rough way, and may pray read in a gulping way, taking large chunks of the Word and just gulping them down, moving through them quickly, rather than taking our time to chew on them, to extract from them all the riches, all the supply that's embodied in those words. You know, why don't we have a little demonstration? Who would like to demonstrate? Phil, come on up. How about you two brothers? Come up too. Come on up, brothers. Okay. How about let's have a little something to eat right now.
Amen.
What should we eat? John 6:57? Okay, brothers, let's eat John 6:57.
Amen.
Amen.
As.
Amen. Amen.
As the living Father.
Oh, amen.
As the living Father.
Yes. Amen.
As the living Father.
Amen.
The living Father.
Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
The source is living.
Amen.
Lord, you are so living.
Yes.
Amen.
Living.
Amen.
Oh, living. Amen. Lord, you're living.
Amen. Father.
Yes.
You're a living Father.
Amen. Amen.
Living Father.
Yes.
Amen.
Living.
Amen.
Father.
Amen. Living.
Yes.
Father.
Father. Father.
Oh.
Father.
Living Father.
Father.
Amen. Father.
Yes.
Amen.
Has.
Has.
Hallelujah. Has.
Amen. Amen. He has.
Has.
It's been accomplished.
Yes.
Amen.
Father has.
Amen. Amen.
It's been done.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're not
the living Father has.
Amen. Amen. We're not waiting.
That's right.
The Father has.
Amen. 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 Has sent.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, sent.
Amen.
Has sent.
Amen.
Father has sent.
Yes.
Amen. Lord, you were sent.
Amen. Amen. Good. Now let's jump ahead a little bit. This is good. I don't know. Would you normally eat this slow? Or do you think you go a little bit faster? I think if you're honest, you would say you would eat a little bit faster, right? How about we jump ahead? So he who eats me. Amen. Okay?
Amen. He who eats me.
Yes.
Amen.
So. Oh, amen.
Amen.
Lord, let it be so.
Amen.
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 Lord,
so.
Amen.
Amen.
For me, Lord, let it be so.
Amen. Let it be so.
Amen. Amen.
Let it be so.
Amen.
Amen. Let it be so.
Amen.
Amen.
So he.
Amen. So he.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So he.
Amen. Amen. Oh, so me.
Amen. So me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That he is me.
Amen.
Lord, we want to be me, he right now.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen. That's
well,
right.
That's we good. See, don't be religious. Can you not say he is me?
Yeah.
Forget about grammar. Throw grammar out the door.
Amen.
Just eat.
Amen.
He is me.
Amen.
Me, I'm that he.
Amen.
It's so enjoyable.
Amen.
All your English majors may be cringing, but I'm full of enjoyment. He is me.
Amen.
Me, I'm that he.
Amen.
See, now you're all in your mind, but anyway, let's go. So he who eats
so he
me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So he who eats.
Yes.
Amen.
He who eats.
Amen. Amen.
He who masticates.
Yes.
Amen.
Wow. He who chews.
Choose finally.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Very good, brothers. Very good. Thank you. Not so easy, right, when others are there. But I hope we all could learn to masticate, to eat the Lord this way. Don't be so quick. Don't be so hurried. Don't be so fast in your pray reading of the word. Then don't be so formulaic. I'm very concerned that some pray reading is just formulaic. They just have a cadence, a certain cadence, and they get going and they just pray read a certain way. So he who eats me, shall live, because. Well, is there anything wrong with eating like that? No. But I hope that doesn't become your formula, that you're stuck in that way, right? Or whatever other way it may be. Do you have to pray read the verse in order? Are you allowed to change it up when you're pray reading? Absolutely. Are you allowed to jump over words?
Yes.
Yes. What are we doing? Are we composing something? This is another thing we should be on guard against. Your prayer reading is not your composition of your prophecy for the Lord's Day morning or for your expounding of the Word of God to someone. Prayer reading is simply to strike the Spirit that's in the Word, to eat the Lord.
Amen.
That's what we're doing. And We're not analyzing the word. You know, sometimes the most enjoyable verses to pray read are the ones that you have no idea what it means. And that there's maybe no footnote. Because all you're reduced to is exercising your spirit. Amen. To touch the spirit in that word.
Amen.
So these things, don't be too quick. Don't be stuck in some kind of formula or particular way. Be living.
Amen.
Be real.
Amen.
Don't worry about grammar. Sometimes the best way is forget about grammar. Why not pray, me who eats you.
Amen.
Me who eats you. Amen. Oh, me who eats you.
Amen.
You know, the religious man is saying, no, it says he who eats me. But no, the point is, me who eats you.
Amen.
Lord, I want this verse to become real to me. So we have a lot of practice we need to do, a lot of practice to learn how to eat the Lord. Practice to masticate.
Amen.
Practice to chew finely. Practice to eat bit by bit. Practice to eat in a slow way. Practice to eat in a fine way. Then let's all read two together. We must take Jesus as our food, enjoy him, and masticate his humanity all the time.
The humanity of Jesus will make us spiritually healthy.
Oh, I love this. This is a must. This is a must. We must take Jesus as our food. We must enjoy him and masticate his humanity all the time.
Amen.
Don't let a day go by.
Amen.
Without feeding on the Lord.
Amen.
And then this point, the humanity of Jesus will make us spiritually healthy. You know, the cause for us to be unhealthy is a deficiency in something. So when we're not healthy spiritually, is because there's a deficiency. And normally that deficiency is related to something in our humanity. You know, there was a story I heard of a group of people that lived in a particular place. And in the evening, they would start to lose their eyesight. They would not be able to see so clear when the sun began to set. And this was because there was a deficiency of vitamin A in them. Well, what did they need to do? They just needed to eat something that had vitamin A in it. And because this group of people lived near the coast, they had fish as a part of their daily diet. And they were told, you need to eat the liver of the fish because the liver is rich in content with vitamin A. And they began to eat the liver, and that healed their blindness, enabled them to see. Well, all of our unhealthy living, our unhealthy conduct, our unhealthy behavior is all because there's a deficiency in our humanity. And we have seen there is the man who has the highest humanity.
Amen.
The proper humanity, the richest humanity. And in his humanity, there is no deficiency.
Amen.
And whatever you need, it's in his humanity. So what do you need to do? Eat that one. Eat him. Then as you eat him, he will add himself into your being. That will then cause you to no longer have that deficiency. He will become in you that very thing. And that makes you spiritually healthy. Don't study Him. Don't analyze Him. Eat Him.
Amen.
Take Him in. You know, maybe I'll use myself as an illustration. Well, before I get to myself, we'll just talk about some other illustrations. Who's impatient? Anyone impatient here? We're all impatient. Do we realize that being impatient is not healthy? It's not proper? All kinds of expressions come out of us when we're in a state of impatience. Don't we know we should have more patience? Right? We know that, right? We know our lack is patience. How are we going to have more patience? Are you going to just try harder next time? Okay, next time I'm going to think ahead. I'm going to identify the situations where I get impatient, and I'm going to be on guard next time. I'm not going to let my impatience come out. Well, that might be good for about another 5 seconds. But eventually, if you're impatient, you're impatient. But do you realize that there's a man who's patient?
Amen.
You know, I love in John 4, he took a detour down to Sychar, and he sat at a well at noon in the midday sun and heat. And he sat there waiting for this sinner to come. Now, that must be patience. I like to just pray read that sometimes. Lord, thank you. You're able to just sit at a well in the midday sun. So whatever my situation is, thank you you're in me as such a one who's able to wait. I love you, Lord, as the one that can wait. Even you can wait, not in an air-conditioned room, but in a hot, humid place. Lord, I love you. This is eating. This is eating the Lord. What if I don't have my Bible with me? Do I say, oh, you know, I should be eating the Lord and enjoying Him as the patient one, and I know there's some verses in the Bible, but I didn't bring my Bible. Okay, I can't eat the Lord. I'll have to wait till later. No, that's why memorizing the word is so good. And even if you can't remember the verse, word perfect, you can still pray read with what you can remember. And that's eating the Lord. That's enjoying the Lord. So patience. You know, I'm still a work in progress. I still need to eat more and more of Jesus. And I have 3 children, and I have, of the 3, the younger 2 are sons. And they like to play sports, and I like to go and watch them play their sports. But I've discovered that when I go to watch them play sports, there are some deficiencies in my humanity. Even though I know I'm supposed to just be quiet and not say anything, I just can't do it. No matter how hard I try, at some point in the game, something comes out. Either at my son or at the ref or at one of the other parents. And I know, oh. And sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, Lord. Next time I won't do it. But what happens next time? Out it comes. And I realized, forget about it. This is just what I am in my fallen humanity. I need another person.
Amen.
And there is another person living inside of me. And this person has the proper humanity. And I just need to take care of, before going to the next game, every day up to and leading up to and the day of that game, I need to eat this person.
Amen.
I need to take in more of this person.
Amen.
And the more I take him in, the more I have the one who's really calm.
Amen.
The one who's really quiet. The one who can keep his mouth shut. You know, you read the Gospels, the Lord just had a way to be quiet. It says he was meek. He was dumb like a lamb before the shearer. I can't be dumb. I can't be quiet. But I have the one who is in my spirit. Amen. I need to eat him. Eat him. Well, we all have deficiencies. And how do we get saved from these? Eating Jesus is the way. Amen. So don't beat yourself up. Don't get too disappointed. It's just a reminder from the Lord. You got to eat me. Amen. Just take it as a reminder from the Lord. You have to eat me more. Well, you haven't been eating me at all. Eat, eat, eat more of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, well, let's keep going on. Three, if we would serve God as priests, we need to eat the priestly food, the holy food that befits our holy service. This food nourishes us that we may have the strength to serve God. How are you doing, brothers and sisters? How are you doing in the Christian life? How are you doing in the church life? How are you doing in your priestly service? Are you able to do it? Do you have the strength to do it? We have to realize, in ourselves, we just can't make it. In ourselves, we just can't do it. Even though we may have the desire to be a proper Christian, the desire to live in the church life in a proper way, even though we may have the desire to serve God as a priest, in ourselves, we just cannot do it. But there is one who can. And we can eat him. And when we eat him, we take him in. We assimilate him. We become constituted with him. Eventually, we become him. And he becomes in us the strength, the supply, the energy to live such a life.
Amen.
To live the Christian life.
Amen.
To have the priestly service. There's no other way. Eat him. Well, I hope with this little word, we all could be so clear. So clear. Eating is the way.
Amen.
We need to feed on Jesus. But how? How can we feed on Jesus? Well, this is why we need Roman numeral 2. Let's all read Roman numeral 2 together. The picture in Leviticus 2. Is by the Spirit. Very good. Is by the Spirit. No. In Hebrews chapter 10, Christ talks about being the one who came to do the will of God. And the will of God was not to have the sacrifices and the offerings. It says, in them he was not pleased. But Christ came to replace all of the Old Testament sacrifice and offerings with himself as the one unique offering, the one unique sacrifice. So in the New Testament, Christ is the one unique offering. He is the reality of the meal offering. We need to eat this one. But we have to be clear. This one is the reality. You know, in John chapter 1, verse 17, it says that this Christ, he was full of reality.
Amen.
Full of reality. Then in John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the reality, and the life. He's the reality. But that's in Himself. He's the reality in Himself. How can He become the reality to you and I? Well, when we go on in the Gospel of John, eventually the Lord, in John 16, 13, He speaks of the Spirit of reality. And what the Bible reveals to us is that Christ, the reality, through death and in resurrection, He has been transfigured to be the Spirit. Amen. To be the Spirit of reality. Amen. So today, how do we receive the one who is reality? We receive Him as the Spirit.
Amen.
He's the Spirit of reality. And in this Spirit of reality is Christ.
Amen.
Is the proper humanity. Everything today is in the Spirit. So how do we eat Jesus? We have to eat Him as the Spirit.
Amen.
So for this, to help us to see how to eat, let's all open our Bibles to John chapter 6. The first verse is verse 51. John chapter 6. How about brothers, when you find this, read this. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. Who? Oh, does it keep going? Yes. And the bread which I will give is my flesh, given for the life of the world. So in John 6, 51, the Lord says, I'm the bread.
Amen.
The bread which came down out of heaven. Here, He's mainly referring to in His humanity. In His humanity, He's the bread for us to eat. If anyone eats of this bread, mainly referring to what He is in His humanity. Now, let's go on to verse 63. Sisters, can you read verse 63? So the Lord said, I am the bread. He who eats my flesh, referring to Himself in His humanity. When He spoke these words, people were stumbled. People left Him. Because they thought He was saying to literally eat His physical flesh. So in verse 63, He has to help us to see it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. To eat the literal flesh of Jesus would not profit you. But Jesus revealed that this one who in His humanity is the bread for us to eat, He was going to pass through death and enter into resurrection. And in resurrection, this one, the bread, became the Spirit.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15, 45b, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam, referring to Jesus in His humanity. This one, this man, became the Spirit.
Amen.
A life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So how do you eat this one? To eat is to receive, to take in this one. You take Him in as the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit. Then in verse 63, He goes on to say, the words which I have spoken to you are Spirit and life.
Amen.
our spirit, and our life. So if Christ is the reality of the meal offering for us to eat, and the way to eat of Him is to partake of Him, to receive Him today as the Spirit, the very Spirit of reality, then you may ask, where is the Spirit for me to eat? Where is the Spirit for me to eat, to take in Jesus? This Spirit today is in the Word of God. Amen. The Spirit is in the Word of God. And then within you and I is a human spirit. And this human spirit is very close to the Spirit that's in the Word. And this human spirit of ours is able to strike, to touch, to contact the Spirit that's in the Word of God. And when our spirit touches the Spirit that's in the Word, that's when we eat.
Amen.
That's when we take in the Spirit. And when we take in the Spirit, we take in Christ. We take in Jesus, including not only His divinity, but also His humanity. Oh, I hope we could be impressed with this. This is the practical way to eat. To eat. Well, Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, and receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God. How do you receive the Spirit? The Spirit is the Word of God. What is a practical way to receive the Spirit? Are you ready, brother? Are you ready? Are you ready? What did you just receive? You received the Word of God.
Amen.
But is that all you received? No. In the Word of God is the Spirit. So today, if you want to find the Spirit, where do you go? Go to the Bible.
Amen.
Go to the Word of God.
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, where's the Spirit? Is it under my bed? Is it outside? Is it here? Is it there? Where do I find the Spirit? It's in the Word of God.
Amen.
The Spirit. It's in the Word of God. But you have to strike the Spirit that's in the Word. And for that, we need to use our spirit.
Amen.
With prayer. So we receive the Spirit, and that Spirit is the Word of God, and we receive it by means of all prayer and petition. Praying at every time in spirit. That there is in the human spirit. So this is where we get the help. When we come to the Word of God, we need to take the Word of God with prayer.
Amen.
And exercising our human spirit.
Amen.
So we need to pray, read the Word with our spirit.
Amen.
Not just pray, read, but pray, read the Word of God with the exercise of our spirit. And our spirit, through that prayer reading of the Word, will strike the Spirit of God, the Spirit of reality that is in the Word of God.
Amen.
And we will receive that Spirit into us.
Amen.
And that is how we receive Jesus. That's how we eat Jesus.
Amen.
So, A. Today, Christ is the life-giving Spirit who is with us all the time for our enjoyment. One, the reality of all the offerings is Christ realized as the Spirit. In our experience, the Spirit is the reality of the offerings. The Spirit is the reality of the offerings. In the Spirit is Christ. Christ is the Spirit. Christ is the reality of all the offerings. You want to have the reality of all those offerings? Come to the Spirit.
Amen.
Receive the Spirit.
Amen.
3, the way to enjoy Christ is to contact Him and take Him in as the Spirit of reality.
Amen.
The way to eat Jesus, to take Him in. Eating means to take Him in, is by the Spirit. If we would eat Jesus by the Spirit, we need to realize that the Spirit today is consolidated in the Word.
Amen.
My words are Spirit and are life.
Amen.
In the meal offering, the oil and the fine flour are mingled and cannot be separated. Hence, this is important, hence, to eat the fine flour is to eat the oil. That means as you eat the oil, you take in the oil. In the oil mingled, there is also the fine flour. So today, as we receive the Spirit, take in the Spirit. Also in the Spirit is the humanity of Jesus. You know, I'd like to illustrate this. So, I have the meal offering here. This is the meal offering. Unleavened bread. Right here. Here's the meal offering. Fine flour mingled with oil, with a little salt. Okay? That's it. That's the meal offering. Where's the oil? It's mingled in there. It's in there. Okay? What does the meal offering, or who does the meal offering typify? Christ. Christ. But not only is the oil in, mingled with the fine flour, but also it was poured upon. Poured upon. So, who would like to eat this with me? Come on up, brother. Who would like to eat this? Whoever would like to eat, come on up. Brother, here's the oil. The oil is mingled with the fine flour. Eat the oil, brother.
Amen.
Eat the oil.
Amen.
Eat the oil.
Eating Jesus is the way.
What do you taste, brother?
Sorry,
you want a bigger piece? Yeah, have some more. Yeah, have some more, Christ.
Unleavened bread with oil.
What do you taste?
Christ is the meal offering.
You taste oil, don't you? Did you eat the oil? Oh, you want some too?
Yeah, I guess
so. I'm not feeding 5,000.
Just break through the fine pieces.
Okay, how about after the meeting we can...
We'll gather up the broken pieces.
All right. I had some napkins here, but... Okay.
Mm.
So tasty. Well, if I asked the brothers, when you ate that, what did you taste? I think you'd say oil. The oil represents what? The Spirit. So, you're receiving the oil into you. You're tasting the oil. But also, what's in with the oil? The fine flour. So, in our experience, we're touching the Spirit. We're tasting the Spirit. We're enjoying the Spirit. But you have to realize in that spirit is also the fine flower,
Amen.
The humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
So, when you're eating the Lord, enjoying Him as the Spirit and the Word, don't get in your mind saying, oh, did I taste any of the humanity? Oh, no, just touch that Spirit.
Amen.
Taste the Spirit. Take in that Spirit.
Amen.
That Spirit of reality. Amen. So did I read two already? No, not yet. Let's all read two together. The Spirit, oil, is mingled with the humanity of Christ. Fine flower. Hence, by exercising our spirit to touch the spirit consolidated in the word, we eat the human life and living of Christ. We eat the human life and the living of Christ. Let's all read three together too. We can enjoy Christ by exercising our spirit to pray, read the word. Brothers, hey. Oh, we are nourished with the highest humanity. Then, sisters, be. We touch the Spirit and we enjoy Christ's human living. This is the meal offering. You know, we talked about eating Christ, the meal offering, every day. You know, every day, the priests in the Old Testament, they had to prepare the meal offering. But I'd like us to be clear. God has done a work to prepare the meal offering for you and I. He did a work over 1,500 years to prepare the Word of God so that we could have the Word of God. And within us, we have the Spirit. So that now every day, we don't have to prepare the meal offering. It's already prepared. Every day, we just have to come and eat.
Amen.
Come and eat this meal offering. Come and eat this one who is the Spirit embodied in the Word. And we need to remember, we are what we eat.
Amen.
We are what we eat. If we eat Him, we will become Him. Not overnight. Not overnight, but gradually, day by day. The more you eat, day by day, the more you will become Him over time. The more you will be constituted with Him. Some of us, in our eating, we have what I term the Popeye mentality. Popeye was this cartoon character that whenever he needed to be saved from something, he would just squeeze a can of spinach, pop the spinach in his mouth, boom! He became strong, boom, boom, could save himself from all kinds of situations. I think sometimes we're like that. We're not eating the Lord day by day. We're not enjoying Him. But then we get into a situation. We realize we need to be saved from our natural life, our natural expression and reaction. And we try doing the Popeye technique. Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! You know. But it's too late. Because we've been living by another sauce. That's why we have the certain expression. You are what you eat. You live because of what you've been eating. So if we've been eating Jesus every day, then that's what we'll live by. That's who we'll live by. That's who we will express without even trying. So we need to take care of this. Day by day, eat Jesus. Become constituted with Jesus. So that His living will become our living. Spontaneously, as an issue of our eating of Him. Without any self-effort, we will be as humble and as holy as Jesus is. And I like that. Not as Jesus was, but as Jesus is. Jesus is living today. And He is living in us. And the more we eat Him, the more we will live Him out today. So then let's go on to Roman numeral 3. Then I have a little burden for a closing word. Roman numeral 3. Let's all read this together. If we daily enjoy Christ.
Thank you.
Good. Brothers A. So as we feed on Jesus, as we eat Jesus, we ourselves first will be satisfied with Him. Then, as an issue of our enjoying such a Christ, He in us becomes the capacity to love others. And then we will minister the Christ that we have been enjoying to them. I know in this week-long training, you have the gospel class. Maybe some of us in that gospel class, we are just sitting there adamant, I am not going out to preach the gospel on my campus. No way. Well, that's just what we are in our humanity. Yeah, we should love all men like the Lord does. But our humanity loves ourselves more. But if we would eat Jesus, enjoy Him, then eventually He in us becomes our love for all men. All of a sudden, now something within you starts to have the desire to go and speak to people, to give them a gospel tract, to tell them about Jesus. What was that? A year ago, we would never have done that. But after a year of eating the Lord, enjoying the Lord, His humanity gets constituted in us. His love for all men, for sinners, gets constituted into us. Then we, the chicken, all of a sudden, don't want to be a chicken anymore. Somehow, we just decide, I'm going to show up, welcome week, and be at the table with the other brothers and sisters. Amen. And maybe we sit behind the table for the first day. But then the second day, something within us says, stand in front of the table. Have some tracts in your hands. Give out some tracts to people. What is this? This is the issue of our eating the Lord and enjoying the Lord. Then, who read A? Was that the brothers or sisters? Okay, sisters, read B. Such a ministering of Christ to others is a real worshiping of God with Christ. Actually, without Christ, there's no way for us to worship God. So we need to be those filled with Christ. How do we get filled with such a one? We need to eat Him every day. So let's all read the focus together. By exercising our spirit, consolidated in the Word, we eat the human life and living of Christ
as a meal
offering,
and are thus supplied with the life that is adequate to serve God in the priesthood.
Oh, thus supplied with the life that is adequate to serve God in the priesthood. Now, I'd like to end this way. I'd like to end with a particular word. And it may be good if we could have our Bibles open for this. Last night, we saw that Christ put on humanity. He took humanity upon himself. But his humanity, being through the seed of the woman and conceived by the Holy Spirit, was a humanity that was uplifted higher in its living and standard than our fallen humanity. And that it's through this humanity of Jesus that God's intent and God's purpose is able to be fulfilled. And I'd like to walk through with you some of the accomplishments of Christ, that these accomplishments are mainly related to his humanity. It's mainly in the aspect of his humanity that these things were accomplished by Christ for us. So, why don't you all turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Whoever finds it, just read it to us. Hebrews 2:14. Since, therefore, the children have shared in blood and flesh, he also himself, in like manner, partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the might of death, that is the devil. Here it's referring to his humanity. He also himself, in like manner, partook of the same. What is that? Of blood and flesh. That's the humanity. That through that humanity, he destroyed the devil. It was through that humanity of Jesus on the cross that the devil was destroyed.
Amen.
This is a fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, where it says that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. It was in Christ's humanity that the serpent, the devil, was crushed,
Amen.
Was destroyed.
Amen.
You know, it seems like with Christ's humanity, there's no problem related to the devil. Yet without humanity, the devil can cause all kinds of problems. So this shows us we need to receive Christ's humanity.
Amen.
It's only in his humanity that the devil has no way. Because in Christ's humanity, the devil has been destroyed.
Amen.
You know, in John 14:30, the Lord told the disciples that the devil, Satan, had nothing in Jesus. That means in Jesus, the man, Satan had no way, no ground, no opportunity, no possibility to do anything.
Amen.
What a humanity!
Amen.
So instead of trying to deal with the devil with our fallen humanity, let's eat Jesus.
Amen.
Let's take in the humanity of the one who destroyed the devil.
Amen.
Well, that's just the first item. The second is that through his humanity, There was the bringing in of the blessing upon all the nations. This is Genesis 12, 18. Referring to Abraham, it says, in your seed, in Abraham's seed, shall all the nations be blessed. That blessing brought in is altogether related to the humanity of Jesus. And brothers and sisters, today, for us to bring this blessing to the nations, to people, to those around us, the main way that the blessing comes is through humanity. You know, you consider the preaching of the gospel. That's to bring this blessing to people. But how is the gospel brought to people? It's not by angels, but it's by and through humanity. Many times, our going out to contact people, to bring the blessing to them, is our going out to contact them through humanity. It's not just standing on the street, the pathway on your campus, and exercising your spirit and just yelling out, Jesus is Lord! And you say, well, we exercised our spirit. We released our spirit really loud, but today no one got saved. I think if you go out to bring the blessing in that way, most people will find another way. And you will be frustrated in bringing this blessing to them. But actually, in the gospel, we need to learn how to have a proper humanity. Amen. How to contact people in the proper way. Amen. For them to receive the blessing.
Amen.
Third point is that through this man, through his humanity, God is able to give us grace with all its gifts. Do you realize that the way God's grace came to us is through the humanity of Jesus? Why don't we all turn to Romans chapter 5? Only because I forgot to write down the verse reference. But I know it's in Romans 5. So Romans chapter 5, verse 15. Let's read this together. But it is not that as the offense was, so also the gracious gift is. For if by the offense of the one the many died, much more the grace of God and the free gift and grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded to the many. Much more, the grace of God and the free gift in grace of the one man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, that's Adam, the many were constituted sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, that's the man, Jesus, the many will be constituted righteous.
Amen.
Let's keep going for the sake of time. How about 1 Corinthians 15, 21? If you have it, read it with me. For since through man came death, through man also came the resurrection of the dead. So through one man, Adam, death came in. But through another man, Jesus, this brought in the resurrection from the dead. It was as a man that he resurrected from the dead. Aren't you glad that there's been such a man to bring in the resurrection? Oh, now we got the big point. We need to go quickly. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, back to Hebrews 2. And then I'm just going to have to finish up the others. We're going to read Hebrews 2, 14 to 18. How about we alternate, brothers and sisters? Brothers, let's read again verse 14. Since, therefore, the children have shared in blood and flesh, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the might of death, that is the devil. Assuredly, it is not to angels that he gives help, but he gives help to the seed of Abraham. Being
in that which he himself
has suffered,
he is able to help those who are being
tempted. So in verse 14, in his humanity, he destroyed the devil. Yeah. Then in verse 18, through his humanity, he is able to help. He is able to help those who are being tempted. This word help means he is able to aid. He is able to support. He is able to be a, and this word is succor. S-U-C-C-O-R. He is able to be one who comes to bring aid, to bring help to someone in need. Amen. We have to realize it's by his humanity that the Lord is really able to help us. Aid us, supply us, strengthen us. Whenever we are in any situation where we need help. Aren't you happy that this is the way he'll come to you? Not primarily in his divinity, but rather so in his humanity. Amen. Then I'll finish the last two points and then we'll conclude. In Acts 7, 53 to 56, we need to see that there is now a man in the heavens. There is a man in the glory. Because there is a man in the glory, he can now lead us also into that glory. Then in Revelation 1:13, he is the Son of Man as a heavenly high priest who is walking in the midst of the churches, caring for the churches. Amen. Today, the Lord's care for the churches is mainly through his humanity. Now, to the concluding part. Back to John 19:5. When Pontius Pilate brought out Jesus, at that time, he had put a crown of thorns on his head and put a purple garment upon him. And he said to the crowd, "Behold the man." Well, today we also need to behold the man. But this man no longer has the crown of thorns. He has the crown of glory.
Amen.
And this man no longer has that purple garment. But he has been clothed with the priestly garments. He is today our heavenly high priest.
Amen.
This man today is the one who is caring for us.
Amen.
This man is the one that we need. Amen. We all need this man.
Amen.
For this man is our aid. He is our help. He is our support. He's our all in all.
Amen.
And we can eat this man.
Amen.
When we eat this man, we get the help that we really need.
Amen.
This man is the food for our priesthood.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, behold this man.
Amen.
And eat this man.
Amen.